If you have a Bible with you, you can open to Paul's letter to the Philippians. We'll look at chapter 3, verses 7 through 12 this morning, and the text is also printed on the next page of the bulletin. We're talking about the resurrection a lot today. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of the most important things that's ever happened. In fact, it is the thing that changes the nature of all the other most important things that have ever happened. It transforms the meaning of death. It transforms the meaning of life. It means a new creation. It literally changes everything about life with God in this world and life with God in the next world. So what is important about it might surprise you. It's not the mere fact of resurrection that is important, not the reality of resurrection in general, the possibility for resurrection coming back from the dead in general that is important. It is the fact that it's the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is this thing that's of world-changing importance. It's his resurrection that has the power to transform everything. And so we want to know Jesus. We want to know him. He's the crucified Lord. We want to know him also as the risen Lord. We want to know him in his resurrection. So this is true life. True life can be found nowhere else but him. That's what we'll talk about this morning. So let me pray, then we'll read the scripture. Father, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us about our relationship with you in Christ as we read this scripture. Make us alive to you by your Spirit as we consider your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, the day Jesus rose from the dead, arguably the most important day in the history of the universe. There have been some pretty big days in the history of the universe. You know, there's the first day when God made everything out of nothing. Or the day when God made human beings in his image for a relationship with him. Or the day when humans rebelled against God and fell into sin and broke our relationship with him. Pretty important day. Or the day when the Son of God was born into the world as a man. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Or the day when Jesus was baptized and the Father poured out his Spirit on him and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Very important day. Or the day of his crucifixion, which we remembered on Friday together. The day when he was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might have peace with God. All very important days, tremendously important days. All these days would mean nothing. They would be empty of meaning if it weren't for the day when Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus changes the way we view all those other days. It means a new creation, the renewal of this old world. It means our renewal in God's image, even though we're sinners. It means freedom from sin. It means the eternal life of humanity with God. So the apostles were constantly talking about the resurrection of Jesus. It's the most important thing to them. They're talking about it all the time. It's the theme of every one of their sermons in the book of Acts. In their letters, they talk about it as the foundation for our new life with God. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that this aspect of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, this aspect of the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, is a matter of first importance for our faith. So he makes it clear there in 1 Corinthians 15 that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no good news. There's no such thing. And then he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And this has had the most wonderful significance for the whole world, for all of history, and for every part of our lives together with God. So Paul writes here in his letter to the church at Philippi that nothing could matter more than knowing the risen Lord Jesus, knowing him, especially in the power of his resurrection. Nothing could matter more than that. In fact, he puts it even more strongly than this. He says in verse 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ, for the sake of knowing him and gaining him and being found in him and knowing his power and his resurrection. Right? So in the context here, he's talking about something that he had considered gain, and now he counts it loss. Right? So Paul is speaking specifically about something that previously he had considered gain or worthwhile. He's talking about the self-confidence of a self-made life. The self-confidence of a self-made life. That's what he said he used to consider gain, but now he counts it as loss. The self-confidence of a self-made life. He's talking about self-justification. He's talking about justifying his own existence, justifying his own life by his own being, by his own behavior. He spent quite a lot of time building his own resume in life prior to coming to know Jesus. He spent a lot of time building his own resume, thinking that that might impress God, it might earn him glory in somebody's eyes, or maybe just make him feel good about himself compared to other people. He had even sought to use the standards of measurement that are found in God's own law. He said, just before this passage, he says, he has more reason than anyone for confidence in the flesh. So that's self-confidence from being self-made. Because he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So his people and his pedigree and his performance in life gave him what he thought every reason for self-confidence. Or so he had previously thought. If anyone belongs with God, if anyone belongs among the people of God, me. If anyone could win approval, whether that's God's approval or the approval of others or just even in our own minds, based on who they were and what they had done in life, it was Paul. But these things didn't get him anywhere, not really. In fact, even worse, not only were they not gain, they were loss. They were setbacks when it came to the only thing that truly matters. He says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So the self-confidence of a self-made life is no life. In fact, it's an obstacle to true life. That's what Paul says. True life is knowing Christ. Earlier in Philippians, Paul says it in the most intriguing way. He says that for me, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Life full of a self cannot be life full of Jesus Christ. Those things are mutually exclusive. True life is certainly not something that you get for yourself apart from Christ. True life isn't even something that you sort of get from Jesus, like a gift that he gives you. True life is Christ. Life is Christ. Jesus Christ is the life. 1 John, the apostle says, Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. Not just that he gives eternal life, he is eternal life. Jesus himself puts it this way in John 17, this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Knowing Jesus is eternal life with God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you ain't lived yet. So this is why Paul says that the self-confidence of a self-made life is rubbish, he calls it. It's like street garbage fit only for scavenging dogs. That's the self-confidence of a self-made life. The only way to true life is to know Jesus, to gain Jesus, which means utterly forsaking the way of self-confidence and being self-made, forsaking all paths to justifying your own life for yourself, forsaking even the righteousness that you would build on God's law. Why? Why is he talking about this way? Why is this true? Why does Paul believe this so strongly? Why does Paul insist that knowing Jesus is so important that he's willing to dismantle and discard everything else that he had built of his own life in order to gain Christ and to know him? What does it mean that Jesus is life? That knowing Jesus is life? The Bible tells us that the living God is the source of all life. Life begins with God. He is the living God. He is the life. The creator of all things out of nothing, the one who is at the very heart of all reality, nothing would exist apart from him. He's the source of all life. The life of this God is revealed to us in the scriptures. The life of this God is love. So God's being is triune. We talk about the Trinity here a lot. He exists as the unity of three persons in one God. Father and Son in perfect, mutual, self-giving love in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the life of God is the union of persons in the Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God incarnate, become a human being. Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh. Jesus is this living God who now is united to our humanity in his own person forever. Jesus is life because he is the eternal union of God with man in love. Knowing Jesus isn't just about having some facts about him, rattling around in your brain. Knowing, that language, knowing Jesus, is biblical language for being united to him relationally, knowing him deeply and intimately. So that's why knowing Jesus is life, because life is union with God. That's what it is for God, the source of all life. Life is union with God. Jesus is our union with God. And knowing him is our union with him. That's why Paul also uses the language of union like wanting to be found in Christ. Not next to Christ. In. United. So gaining true life is so much more than being a self-made person. Gaining true life is being united to God, the one who is the heart of all reality. In the same way that God is united to God. In the same way that God the Son is united to the Father through God the Holy Spirit. So true life is having the life of God in you as you know Jesus Christ. So Paul says he's willing to suffer the loss of all things, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So he says this is the greatest purpose of his life, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Jesus said that he came to share his life with us, actually to share his own joy with us, so that his joy would be in us, so that our joy may be full. So Jesus came to claim us and make us his own, so that we could have the joy of his sonship, his relationship with the Father, that joy could be in us. This is a joy that we can have in knowing him, in relating to him, in living life with him, in fellowship with him throughout this life, which means throughout all the sufferings of this life and even in death Look, no one wants to suffer. No one wants to die. But if these things are how we come to know Jesus, we'll go there. And this truly is the only way to know Jesus in this world, to know what it is like to be the Son of God himself in a world like this, to join him in sufferings like his and even in a death like his. And this is the great privilege for which he has laid hold of us, for which he has made us his own. He says that we belong to him so that we can have his life in us, so that we can know what it's like to be him. We belong to him so that we can live with his own life, full of his own spirit, with the very life of God, the life that is love. So for Jesus, suffering and death means faithful love. It means Father, trusting, spirit-filled, sacrificial love. That's what suffering and death means for Jesus. This is the glorious life of God lived out in a world like this. And as we know him and belong to him and become like him in his sufferings and death, the foundation is laid then for knowing him and belonging to him and becoming like him in his resurrection from the dead. In his life with God, there's no resurrection without suffering and death. In our life with God, the same will be true. And this is the privilege. Because as it went with Jesus, so it will go with us. That's the privilege. Whatever's true of Jesus in his relationship with God, in his life with God, will also be true of us in our union with him. That's the gospel. That's the blessing, to participate in the life of the Son of God. That's why we're talking about his resurrection and not just some generic idea of coming back from the dead. It's the resurrection of the Son of God that we're interested in, because that resurrection means the never-ending life of Jesus with God being ours as a gift of his grace in spite of our sin. That resurrection means the transformation of his death. And because of our union with him, then it means the transformation of our death. It means his life is our life. Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, glorious in God's presence, never to die again. And so it shall be for you through faith in him. He promised it to us. He says in John 14, and we'll sing it in a few minutes, because I live, you also will live. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. The Son of God has made his reality your reality. Truly, truly, I say to you, he says, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Your sorrow will turn into joy because of his resurrection, because the Son of God has made his joy your joy. His everlasting life with the God of love to be your everlasting life with the God of love. From start to finish, the Christian life is about his relationship, the relationship of Jesus to the Father. It's about this relationship being lived out on our behalf and then being opened up to us, being shared with us by his Spirit, by his grace, us being welcome to participate in his relationship with the Father. It's about knowing Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord, intimately knowing what it is like to be the Son of God in this world and in the next. So as Hosea wrote, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to know you and love you even as your beloved Son knows you and loves you. This is the very purpose for which you sent him into the world, to receive us all as your adopted and beloved children, to share his spirit of sonship with us. Thank you for sending your Son to live and to die as one of us, so that we can live and die as one with you. Thank you, living God, that your life cannot end and that you have united yourself to us in such a way that now our life cannot end, even though we die. Thank you for the resurrection of your Son, which means our resurrection as your sons and daughters. Help us to know Jesus, who is eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. Help us to press on to know the Lord, because he has made us his own. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.